No, when I was young, what's that comedian name, Gary? He's like, black church takes forever. First Baptist Stampers. That means he's going to send the offering around. Can't catch the Holy Ghost four times in one day. She's fake. Yeah, he was funny. Amen. I'll do my best to preach to y'all this afternoon. Galatians chapter 4, 13. Galatians chapter 4, 13. If you have it on your phone, pull it out. Galatians 4, verse 13. Some of you probably know it by heart. Sister Teresa. No?
Amen.
Man, some of y'all know part of this scripture. You say it all the time. All right. Amen. Well, majority of you have it. Amen. I heard half the room. Amen.
Amen.
There we go.
Amen.
This is the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. And my temptation which was in my flesh you despised it not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you truth? Everybody loves that scripture, right? Especially Sister J, right? She ain't sick no more. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You don't know how much I've heard that in the year. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I just ask that your anointing will rest in the sanctuary. Amen. I pray, Father, that you will get your glory through the preaching of the word, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you. Father, we know that you desire, there's things that you desire to convey. There's things that you desire to do for us. There's things that you're trying to warn us of. There's things that you're trying to protect us from. I thank you, Lord God, for being our reward, our re-reward, for going before us, Lord God, and showing us what we need to be doing in this day and this hour. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon today is, There's Freedom in Truth. Amen. There's freedom in truth. There's a brother in our 30 days. I didn't talk to him before, so I'm not going to mention any names. He may have mentioned it before, but he said that the Lord is working on him about speaking the truth, right? Speaking the truth in all things. And one of the things that he had mentioned the other day when we were talking was how even when it comes to our own individual selves, us personally, we don't understand how serious it is that we get a hold of the truths that God says. Amen. Whether that's through correction, whether that's through a blessing, we need to understand the truth that God tries to deliver to us. It's important. Amen. But in all honesty, and I'm going to get up here and be real, I'm not going to lie to you, we don't always want to hear the truth.
Right.
No. You start telling somebody about themselves, you can tell when they don't want to hear it. Amen. I got people who aren't friends to this day because you say things that they don't want to hear. You know, you heard of that term, you can dish it, but you can't take it.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people have a lot to say until you reverse that mirror and say, you know what? I understand that you saw this in me, but I can also see things in you. Amen. It doesn't mean that it's right. But see, that's just a rebuttal because we don't like being told about ourselves. We try to turn it around and reverse it and make it about the person instead of just looking at it from how it was presented. You know, sometimes if it's said, you just need to take that thing back into prayer and say, Lord, you know, I don't get it. I didn't see it, but maybe it is in me. So if it's in me, then help me to eradicate it so I can represent you the way you desire to be represented. Amen. It takes work to get to that point and to develop a mindset like that. I'm going to just keep it a buck. It takes work to get to that point where when somebody tells you something that you don't want to hear, but instead of getting mad and trying to reverse that thing, you stop and you just say, you know what? I didn't like how that felt. It hurt my feelings. As a matter of fact, I don't get it. I might not get it right now, but I'm going to take that thing back in prayer to see just what it is that God might be showing me through you. Because what it is that he might be showing me through you, it just might very well save my life.
Amen, amen.
It might save me. So here's the thing. We don't want to hear about ourselves, but we love to hear prophecies and the good news, right? Good. Hey, we love that. You know, God gonna give me a ministry. Truth is, do you really want it? God said he gonna use me like this. Yeah. Do you really want to? Because you don't know it. Listen. In 2003, this is what I was told. Just in 2003, this is all the words that I have given in, that I have been given. God said, I'm going to give you a production company studio. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to finance it. It came to pass. He said in 2007, he was going to bless us with a house. Our house would be sitting waiting for a buyer. In 2007, when we bought our house in 2016, the house had been on the market, in a market where they're just throwing cash in real estate and paying above asking price. We was able to negotiate that thing and get it down $40,000 in 2016. That work came to fruition. Amen. The Lord said, people will come up to you and give you so much, you ain't going to be able to endure it. I'm still enduring. That one hasn't come to pass yet, right? We're still working on that, right? Mark Hill, God said there was going to be two babies. I butchered that prophecy. He said there's going to be two babies, and they're going to look so close that they look like twins. I remember leaving the hospital. I didn't have my troops together. I remember I walked out and I walked in the hospital, and they pulled pretty Mark Hill out the wound, and I said, where's the other one? I'm serious. I have faith like that. And you wrong. Now, the word of God ain't wrong. You wrong. Where's the other baby? Sir, there's only one kid. All right. Lord said, pick your face up off the floor. It's okay. Just so happened Cheryl was pregnant with the other part of the prophecy that came to pass. I just didn't have the truth in it, right? Why am I saying all of this? It's because the things that we focus on are the things that we want to focus on. The prophecy is foreknowledge. The prophecy speaks to where we want to go. The prophecy speaks to what we want to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to have this. We want to have that. We want to be successful. We want to obtain this. We want it. Well, right. We want it because God said that we can have it, right? But see, the thing is this. You can't operate it free. You can't operate in what God gives you freely if you don't first understand the truth in what he's trying to do in your life. See, characteristic flaws, hallelujah, characteristic flaws will stop you from reaching the potential that God has prophesied over you. See, it don't matter how great you think you are in your own eyes. Listen, I remember I'll be in church sometimes, right? And the pastor will go, Marquise, come up to the front. So I walk up to the front, and he say, y'all see how arrogant and proud he look? Humiliate me. So I go up there even hard. I'm like, Drew. I'm just playing. I go up there and I stand and I'll be like, what is a proud look? How do you walk proud? Right? I'm rejecting it. I ain't gonna lie. I don't look proud. How am I proud and arrogant? I don't even have they got everything. I'm sitting here just wrestling with it. And so I walk back to Sister Jane and I say, hey, babe. She says, yeah. So I looked at her like she was an enemy. You're always on his side. So you know what I started doing? Lord, show me how to walk right then. I don't know how else to walk. I've been walking like this for 30 years. What else do I need to do? How else should I be walking? Do I got too much of a limp in my leg? Should I walk more straight up and down? Or there? I mean, I don't get it. Like, for real, I was like, how can somebody just look at how you walk and say you're proud, right? But things like that are even though they seem small, it's really big. Why? Because God has to start correcting you in the little stuff before he can get to the big stuff. You see, if he can't stop you and tell you, here, listen, don't turn right at that stop sign, but turn left right now, then he's going to be able to tell you for real when it's time to go to another state or to another country where to go. But he can't tell you that if he can't direct you and lead you in the small things. Amen?
Amen.
Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We're going to get a little bit deeper into it, right? So freedom is the condition of being free, the power to act, to speak, or to think without imposed restraint. Let me read that one more time. This is according to the word web, right? It's the condition of being free, the power to act, to speak, or to think without imposed restraints. You want to know why some of the ministries haven't gotten to this point yet? It's because God is not able to speak to you in truth. But see, the moment that he's able to switch that narrative, and see, I know I'm preaching to somebody right now. The moment that he's able to preach or to speak to you he's able to change that narrative, your ministry is going to blossom in ways that you've never seen it blossom before. From music to just something as simple as a Bible study, to something as simple as just working with kids, to something as simple as whatever it is that you want to call it. It's when God is able to deposit truth in it. You two separate, please. You're a distraction. Why don't you come up here, please? Thank you. Why don't you move? Freedom is the condition of being free. The power to act, to speak, or to think without imposed restraints. Amen? Jesus gives us the freedom, but he has to teach us how to handle freedom. Amen? Truth is a fact that has been verified. Conformity to reality or actuality. It's saying, Lord, I am that.
See, y'all gotta catch that right there. You gotta catch it.
Lord, I am that. Lord, I am a distraction. Lord, I am a problem. Lord, I don't have the answer. See, that's truth. I'm conforming to the truth that God has instituted in my life in that moment. And God takes you from the beginning of your walk all the way to the end, and he keeps instituting truth. The more truth you follow, the more you're blessed. I'm telling you right now. The more you follow God, the more he's able to correct you, the more he's going to bless you. But I can tell you right now that when you stop receiving the truth and you don't remove or you don't move in the truth, guess what? God starts removing things from you. Doors start closing. Things start shutting down. And you wonder why things has happened. It's because, just like Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, But at a time when you did not know the true God and were unacquainted with him, you Gentiles were slaves to those pagan things which by their very nature were not and could not be God's at all. So Paul is talking to the Galatians about their former state. He's talking to them about their former state as an introduction before he even makes it to this. He says, listen, when I found you, you were sinners. When I found you, you were a pagan nation. When I found you, you were an abomination that we couldn't even be in fellowship with. When I found you, I'm speaking to everybody in here, including myself. When God found us, we were all in sin, shape, and iniquity. We was born in it. When he found you, you was endowed and entangled in a whole bunch of different things that you was entangled with. When he found you, that's the reason why you came to an altar to repent so that truth can change your life and set you free. Then he goes on to say, you were slaves to those pagan things which were by their very nature were not and could not be gods at all. See, listen, sin doesn't even have the power to be the God of your life if you have received that truth. That's why Jesus said, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The only thing that can be a God in your life is Jesus. The only time that he's not God is when you reject truth. He says in verse 9, now, however, since you have come to know the true God through personal experience, everybody say that right there. You've come to know God through what?
Personal experience.
You have an experience with God. You've experienced him in ways that other people have not. You see, what was beautiful about that video is what you see is you see everybody having personal experiences. Right? When Brother Ryan came up out of the water speaking in tongues, that's his personal experience. Nobody should be able to come to him with a philosophy or something that can change or eradicate what happened to him when he came about that water. But let me tell you something, it happens every day. It happens every day when you don't understand the truth of the word because somebody can come and tell you their own truth or manipulated truth. And when they tell you and it's not the truth of God, then you end up losing the experience that God had given you. That's what's happening in the scripture, and Paul is bringing it to their attention. He says, now, since you have come to the truth or to the true God through personal experience, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you're turning back again to the weak and worthless elemental principles of religion and philosophies to which you were enslaved all over again? Why are you going backwards? You see, that's a question right there that we all need to for real home in on, right? Because when you come into church, you have this incredible experience with God. I remember when I came in there, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I know what that prayer walk looks like. You know, I went up there like this. Stand up, Donna, real quick, help me out. Brian, stand up, help me out right quick. Came up there, said, yeah, they can pray for me. So I'm praying like this. We do a half a circle of room here, brother. Let's do it. Right? So I'm standing like this. That's that proud look. Right? I'm standing there. Oh, yeah, it's on the popping, right? Say, we're going to pray for you. All right. So they start praying. I hear Jay and Don, you know, Jay always, you know, speaking loud tongue. Don, right? I'm praying. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what none of this is about. Then all of a sudden, my eyes start watering, Jonathan. I was like, my hands start getting loose. I didn't want to hold nobody's hands no more. You know, you got your own unique way of getting little too. See, that's kind of what truth does, right? The Lord was showing me the truth in that moment that you really ain't tough and you really ain't hard. Yes. So all of a sudden, I felt like something had my head like this, right? My hand was here, but it felt like something had my head, and it started pushing my head down like this. And I'm trying to push it back up, and it's going back down. And before I can't get back up, I'm crying. Oh my God! So by the time I got all the way down to here, I got snot on the ground. I'm like, I forced it. I said, I'm cool. So I turned around real quick, wiped my face. I walked to this side of the church like this. Don was standing right here. And she says, she's worshiping in the back. She goes, God was going to give you the Holy Ghost. I said, well, he ain't going to give me the Holy Ghost today because I don't know what that was. I sat my butt down. She said, I ain't playing with that. See, that's my personal experience. Right? So I go home and I sit down and I'm eating this food, or I'm sorry, I go to their house for dinner and they happen to get together and I'm eating it. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I can't be this way. I can't curse. I can't have this potty mouth. I can't look all hard. I can't be crippling. I can't be doing any of this. And I got to clean all this up before I can come to church. That's what I'm thinking in my mind, right? Truth, this is what truth does. Sister Jay's walking by. I'm sitting there eating and she just stops and looks at me. And I'll look up at her like, what? She starts speaking in that door of the tongue. And the Lord said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in me, for I'm God, not you.
Right.
You see, that's truth right there. I said, okay, I get it. So I ate my food up right quick and I just sat there for a minute. I said, I'll call you tomorrow. So I go home later that afternoon. And while I'm at home, I just pray. And when I prayed, I said, Lord, I said, if what you're trying to show me and what you're trying to do is, you had already shown me before, but if you really are trying to call me into your kingdom, I need you to show me. And that night when I went to sleep, I had a dream and I was at the side of the church and I laid and I kneeled down and I got the Holy Ghost in the dream. And so I woke up again that night thinking that I had been filled with the Holy Ghost. I was trying to see if I was speaking in tongues, right? And it didn't happen. So the next day, when she called, she said, here's the second part of the church service. And so I went to service, and this time they said, we're going to pray for you again. Brother Jonathan, I didn't go up there like this. You know, I didn't go like, I wasn't looking at y'all stupid no more. I didn't think y'all look crazy. When he said it's time for an altar call, I ran. And I came over here to the side of the church where it was in my dream, and I dropped to my knees like this, and I said, Lord, I'm willing to embrace whatever it is that you have for me. It don't matter what it looked like before, I'm willing to give my life to you because it's a privilege. You begin speaking to me, and because you make yourself available, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm saying all of this in my mind, and my tongue started to switch up, and like in a matter of seconds, I was speaking in another tongue. That's my testimony, amen. That's the truth that's in my life, is that I'm not the God of my life. And the moment that I keep thinking that God is the God of my life, he starts showing me in every aspect of it where he's not. Woo. hallelujah, because I wouldn't give him access to it. He says, now, however, since you have come to know the true God through personal experience, or rather known by God, how is it that you want to turn back and go back to the weak gods that's in the world that I delivered you from? That's powerful. That's powerful. Because we come into the church and we say, Lord, this is what I want from you. Lord, I need you to change my life. You see, sometimes change doesn't look good. Change doesn't always feel good. But see, sometimes change is necessary. If you look at athletes, they might not necessarily like the training that they're going through, but they understand that training is necessary in order for them to extend the life of their careers. You see, you gotta understand something here, that every decision and every choice that God makes in your life and on behalf of your life, you're not gonna necessarily agree with. But when you embrace truth, you'll realize that he has something that was greater and something that was better for you. You just thought you had a better answer and didn't want to hear it. So when that happens, guess what? I ain't going to church no more. Them people crazy. They only say this. God is always telling me no. So I'm going to call Pastor Marquise because he always get yes. That's what they do. Jordan.
I know not to call
you. No, don't try to defend it now. I got the mic. I call you, Keith. Because you get yes most of the time. If I text Jay, she's going to say no. It's what you call a balance. Right? But see, going a little bit bigger and going a little bit in depth, right? You got people that walk right out of the church and go do whatever they want to do. It's because they don't want to embrace truth. It's just that simple. Right? I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want you to tell me that that man is not good for me because he's cute. I don't want you to tell me that that woman ain't good for me because I'm in love. I don't want you to tell me. I don't want to hear it because my flesh is greater than God right now. Therefore, I have no freedom in truth. I have freedom within a lie, at least I think, because it's going to lead me into bondage. Here's Paul. Paul says, you want to go backwards after I've delivered you, right? So I come in, you receive me like Christ. You receive me as I'm an angel. I bring you up, we bring you from being abominable to being the children and the very elect of God, right? And now you want to leave your post, abandon post, and go do something else, right? This is the scripture right here you should use with your boys, Brother Fighter, right? He says, for example, you observe particular days, you observe particular months, you observe particular seasons, and you would observe particular years. He says, I fear for you, this is Paul's word, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored to the point of exhaustion with you in vain. So all the years that I've been ministering to you, I feel like I might be wasting my time with you, is what Paul was telling them. This is why, let me keep going, right? He says, on the contrary, you know that it was because of my physical illness that I remained and preached the gospel to you for the first time. And even though my physical condition was at trial to you, you did not regard me with contempt or scorn or reject me, but you received me as an angel of God or even as Christ. Right? But then he goes on, he says, what then has become of that sense of blessing and the joy that you once had from your salvation and your relationship with Christ? For I testify of you that if it's possible, you would have torn out your own eyes and given to me and replaced mine. He said, listen, you went from being abominable to the chosen and the very elect of God, and now you're trying to go backwards and pick up religion. Now I'm going to break this down. You see, God brought you out of sin. He brought you to a place of repentance. He brought you to a place where he'll change your life. He brought you to a place that you asked him to. That's the thing. When you came to the church, you came with a problem that you asked God to fix. Amen or amen?
Amen.
God, I need you to fix me. And the moment he starts fixing it, you don't agree with it. You want to take yourself off the altar. But see, this is the thing. Just like with the Galatians, you was a sinner before. Christ revealed himself to you. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. He brought you out of that bondage. But now you want to go back into sin because you don't agree with me? Woo! You want to go back to the world because you don't agree with the truth that I'm given to protect you.
My God.
So you would rather have bondage in a lie than to have freedom in the truth?
My God.
watch. And he keeps going. He says, and then he says, so I have become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm your enemy because I tell you that you shouldn't go backwards. I'm your enemy because I tell you that person is bad for you. I'm your enemy because I tell you you need to get your life right. You don't know how many people delete your number out their phone because they know when you call, when they talk to them, you're going to tell them that they got to do something that they don't want to do. Right? It ain't me telling you nothing. It's not me. It's Jesus. He can't go against his word. He ain't going to say, yeah, son, daughter, I know that they're a little cute. Go ahead and sin. We don't serve a God like that, right? God told me to just, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He told you, just wait on me. He said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. Last time I was walking down the street one day, right? Actually, matter of fact, I was in Walmart. I was in Walmart looking at something green on the floor. I said, that's $100. I found $100, right? And I was like, wait a minute, should I take this to the front? Let me go to the front real quick. Let me just make sure, because $100, I don't want to be cursed because of $100. That's the truth. Hey, did somebody say they lost $100? They said, no, you can keep it, sir. Oh, okay. Some new J's. Right? But see, I was walking through Walmart, and I just so happened I found $100. Did I go to the Walmart looking for $100? That's how you find your wife. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. You gonna find her when you ain't looking for her. Hey, I don't want to hear. Oh, I can't wait to get to Portugal. I'm gonna be looking for a wife. See, huh? My brother's telling the truth. Let her say a word eloquently in Spanish. She's going to be like, Pastor, are you sure? What the hell am I saying? I'm about to start speaking in tongues. Where's William when you need him? But you already know. But see, when you find her, you ain't looking for her. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw Jay, I wasn't looking for a woman. I'm going to be real. I had played dominoes with her and didn't even know that was my wife at the table. I wasn't looking for a wife. I wasn't trying to be married. I was a player. That's the truth. I was a player. I don't want to be a player. I hear you, Kelly. Right? So then, Paul says, I become your enemy because, well, this is what he told him. He said, these men, the Judaizers, eagerly seek you to entrap you with honeyed words and intention to win you over to their philosophy, not honorably for their purposes, not honorable or worthy of consideration. They want you to isolate you, or they want to isolate you from those who oppose them so that you will seek them. So he's saying, let me just break this down and make it plain and simple. He's saying, you through personal experience have experienced the truth in Jesus and have received the spirit of adoption. You have become the heirs and the promise of the seed that he gave Abraham. Amen. With me. Everybody with me, right? I need to hear amen so I know you're with me.
Amen.
So he's saying, here, by personal experience, this is what you got. This is what's been ordained and this is what's been given to you. So why are you trying to go be like the Jews? Why are you trying to go practice what they did in the law? Why are you trying to go back to Judaism? Why are you trying to go and do what they do and practice the same religious things that they practice when you got something better than they have? Why is it important? I'm going to get to that here in just a second. It's very important. He says, so when you look at it, right, sin separates man from God. That's one of the things we teach in the Bible study, one of the first packets, right? Sin separates man from God. Sin keeps us distant. So that means that the lie that's being instituted that they was believing to cause them to go backwards was causing them to be separated from God. Paul was saying, listen, you received me as God. I'm bringing you back into fellowship with God, and I want you to stay in this place. And if I have to keep telling you to stay right here, then that means that I'm wasting my time on my ministry to keep telling you the same thing over and over and over again. I need you to for real just get it. goes on to say, now it is always pleasant to be eagerly sought after, provided that is for a good purpose. And now just when I'm with you, seeking you myself, but beware of the others that's doing it. My little children, for whom am I again in the pains of labor until Christ is completely and permanently formed within you? How I wish that I were with you now and I could change my tone, because I am perplexed in my regard for you. I'm confused. Do you believe in the power of Christ, or do you believe in the power of religion?
Right.
That's what he's asking him. Do you believe in the power of Christ, or do you believe in the power of sin? Do you believe that God can help you overcome, or do you want to stay down and be bound? Do you believe that God is going to change your life, or do you want to believe the report of the enemy and walk around with your face hung low because you don't believe that God hears you? Why are we vacillating between one or the other? You either 100% in or you're 100% out. But you better get over that line that's lukewarm. Paul said, make up your mind. You've seen too much. You've experienced too much. You've been through too much. Oh, hallelujah. You see, what the beautiful thing about this here is, God took a nation, right? The world is fighting and vacillating between Israel and Palestine and things of that, right? And this is why this scripture is important. They are going back and forth, but they're fighting each other over something that's never going to end. It's pointless. And at the same time, it's a distraction to a certain extent, but it's also a sign to be paying attention to in the event that it escalates, because where it's relevant to you and I is where it's pointing us to in the end times, in need of preparation. All of that other stuff becomes a distraction. Watch this here. Let me just show you better than I tell you, right? Jesus said this. He said, nation's going to rise against nation, right? That Greek word for nation is ethnicity. I've preached that. I've taught that. How many remembers it? Right? Good, 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 good. He said racism, racial tension, people arguing about who's the real this and the real that. That's racial tension. It's a sign of the end time. Rumors of war, threats of war, earthquakes in diverse places. All of that is a sign that the end is near. Everybody's still with me. Right? So all of that has to take place. All of it has to transpire, because Jesus said that it was going to happen. Paul says, let me break this down to you. He says, where am I at? Let's get there. He says, tell me who you are bent on being under the law. Do you not listen to what the law really says? For it is written by Abraham that Abraham too had two sons, one the slave of a woman, Hagar, and the one the free woman. Everybody with me? Hagar is the mother of the Egyptians. Egyptian is synopsis for sin. Everybody say sin.
Sin.
Right? So one gave birth to sin. You're born in sin and you're shaped in iniquity. So when you come out of the womb, guess what? You are under the order of Hagar. But the promise, which was a miracle, was going to come through the seed of Sarah. Sarah's a miraculous conception. So here you have Sarah, who is the child of promise, which is the dispensation of grace ushered in through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You gotta catch that. So you're either gonna live in sin,
that's right,
or you're gonna live in freedom and the truth.
That's right.
You're gonna either live under Hagar, or you're gonna live under Sarah. Because he says, listen, the scripture keeps going, and I'm gonna go ahead and keep it moving. The scripture says that there's no promise and no blessing to Hagar. We're not moving in that direction. But Sarah, that's what you're the heir of. It said miraculously that this is what you're going to take part in. This is the cup that you're going to drink from. So you have all this freedom in Jesus. You have all this freedom in the truth. You have all this grace that's been given to you. You have all of this freedom. To move about the earth knowing that nothing can hurt you. Freedom to move throughout earth knowing that you serve the one and only true God. Freedom to move while everybody's arguing about race. Everybody's arguing about kingdoms. Everybody's fighting over war. But guess what? You woke up free this morning. want to preach. You know, sometimes I just think of God. I'm almost done. I see the kids that came in here. It's cool. But I think of God. You know, he's just sitting up there and he's like, my people rejected me. They rejected me. And when you look at it, when you look at the children of Israel, they were sold into bondage, right? Hagar's mother, the Egyptian. The order was reversed. I preached that a long time ago. The promise was going to come through Sarah, but she wanted to push Hagar in place to force the hand of God because she was barren. She couldn't have children. So by her doing that, that reversed the order. Her servant became now her master. So the children of Israel ended up being enslaved to the Egyptians, which is Hagar, for 430 years. Then they come out. He delivers them. The truth is deliverance, right? He delivers them. But see, when you get out there, and the truth is you got to go out there and get your own food every day. The truth is you got to get up and you got to go do something that he told you to do. The truth is you got to follow instruction. The truth is you got to be willing to walk discipline. The truth is you got to let some things go. The truth is you got to make some sacrifices. That's too much work. That's too much work. I'm just going to go on back here to Egypt because it's easy. Did you bring me out here to die because he's disciplining you? Catch that right there. See, when God brings you in the church, you're not going to just stay in the church and have no discipline. You're not going to stay in the church and think you're going to stay the same way that you was last year. If you're not changing year to year to year to year while you've been in church and something ain't falling off of you and you still make this thing about you, somewhere along the line you're denying the truth that God has been trying to institute in your life. He says, Hagar is a representation of Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. They didn't have freedom. But the Jerusalem above, that is the way of faith represented by Sarah, is free. She is our mother. For it is written in the scriptures, rejoice, O barren woman who has not given birth, break forth into a joyful shout. You who are not in labor for the desolate woman has many more children than who has a husband. That means that we are the heirs. Amen. You are the heirs. You got more brothers and sisters that in the stars and the moon and the sand can't even number how many is in your lineage, in your heritage. That's what they fighting over. We the original. You the original children of Jesus when he put his spirit in you. You are mine. You are mine. Paul was one of them then and he was one of them now. You stay away from the philosophies of religion. You stay away from all of that. You don't worry about them arguing over whose color is this and this and this and this and that. Because what's underneath that skin is one God, one spirit, one Jesus. You are a child of the children of Israel. You are. Let them dispute the land. They can do all of that because he's going to step in and take over all of that. Our business is soul business right now. Your business is soul business. Because God's not changed. He didn't say stop winning souls and stop adding to the sand and adding to the star. He said you keep going until I come. Until the gospel reaches the four corners of the earth. You still got work to do. You go ahead and let them do what they're going to do. But you got the children of Israel living inside you because you got the Holy Ghost. Stand with me. Paul said, for never shall the son of a bondwoman be heir to share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. Woo! That's hard. But see, I'm going to simplify it and break it down. He said, sin cannot have fellowship with God. That's what he said, simplifying it. Sin cannot have fellowship with God. You have to choose one. If you choose to stay there, you've made your choice. Listen to the words of Jesus. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He didn't say the men of this world. He didn't say the chosen people of God. He said, in my word, this book right here, You're my disciple when you follow this. Right? They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, shall we be made free? They're questioning his integrity. We're the children of Abraham. That's what we're doing now today. We the originals. We the originals. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Then he goes on to say, he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And this is where it gets good. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And then Jesus tells him, before Abraham was, I am. That's gangster. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Ooh, that's hard though. We're Abraham's seed. Before Abraham was, I am. I wish I could have heard him say that. I'm trying to keep this holy and real, but Drew, that was hard. Man. You little punk, you trying to tell me something? Before all of that, it was me. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you even know who you're talking to? Like, what you just said is dumb. I gave Abraham the promise. Dummy? Forgive me. I'm not going off. But when you start reading scripture, Jesus says some hard stuff. Yeah, some questions, but when you give me an answer, then holler at me. And you know they can't answer it, right? Dummy. Let me move with some people that love me. Let me move with some people that's going to listen to me. You know? Where they at? Those that are called and chosen by my name. Where they at? You know, we pour some spirit in, we put some spirit in flesh. Right? So in essence, my conclusion is this. It don't matter really what race you are, but if you got the Holy Ghost in you, you keep moving, keep pushing. Amen. They don't have that. Because you're going to come up here, you're going to be confronted. You're going to have people that want to argue. Kick the dust off your feet. Before there was race, there was I am. Before there was nationality, there was I am. Before there was kingdoms fighting against kingdoms, there was I am. And guess what? When it's all said and done, Jesus is going to say, I am that I am. And that spirit of Jesus lives inside of you.
I am.
I am Marquise Dion Wissington Jesus.
Amen.
That's my name. That's what makes me heir to the promise that he gave Abraham. Because I got that holy blood living inside of me, right?
Hey.
That's for you, Steve. I got that holy blood living inside of me that's flowing. Woo. Yeah!
Whoa.
Hey, we good. Yes, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Help us to know who we are. That is freedom in the truth, Lord, that you are the author. You are the finisher of our faith. It's truth, Lord. There's freedom in the truth that you dwell inside of us. There's glory in the truth. Yes. That you won't leave or forsake us. There's glory in the truth that philosophies of men and the way they argue and vacillate. Father, there's truth that your spirit dwells in me because of the experience that you've given us the opportunity to share. Yes, Lord. I thank you this afternoon, this evening, for your love towards me and for your love towards the church. I thank you that you extended salvation to those that would love you the way you deserve to be loved. I thank you, Lord God, for the many truths that you've instituted in my life. I thank you for every time you correct forgive me. I thank you for everything that you changed in my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for the changes that's going to come still in my life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. The altars are open if you want to spend some time on the true King.
Amen.